Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to be looking at chapters 7 and 8 as we overview these particular chapters and just see what God has for us and some great things we're going to talk about. And I'm sure that this is going to get a lot of hits online because the title of this message is The Consequences of a Hard Heart. The Consequences of a Hard Heart. Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give us that timely word we need to hear from you. We pray, God, that our hearts would be ready to receive all that you have for us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 7 and 8, The Consequences of a Hard Heart. This is part 1. Now, life has a way of throwing things our way that can cause us to have a hard heart. The tragedy of a divorce or the loss of a loved one or getting fired from a job can cause us to have a hardened heart. What happens to us and in us when we allow our hearts to become hard? We will see in the next few chapters through the life of Pharaoh what can happen to us if we allow our hearts to become hardened towards God and the consequences that will follow. Now, look what it says there in verses 1 through 7. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and speak to him, but he will not heed your words because I will harden his heart. This will give me, God is speaking, an opportunity to show my power and stretch out my hand against Egypt. As a result, the entire nation will know that I am the Lord and that there is none like me. Yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, there will be hard times that even the Israelites will experience as well, but it will be a part of my plan and my purpose to provide liberation for my people. So often we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, liberate me from this job. Get me out of this military. Set me free from this relationship. Set me free from the whips of this job, or liberate me from the Pharaoh that I work for. And God will say, okay, yes, I will, but I want your Egyptian co-workers and the Pharaoh that you work for to see my power and understand that there is not another God like me. But there are some things that they will go through that will affect you in the process. And we cry out again, Lord, I just want you to get me out of this bad situation. And God said, I will. But there are some Egyptians that are watching you and see how you handle the difficulties in your life and the trials that you face. I want them to see my power. I want them to see what I can do. And seeing you win the lottery doesn't cause the Egyptians to wonder about me. No, the Egyptians wonder about me, God is saying, when they see you facing problems on the job, difficulties in the family, setbacks financially, difficulties physically, and you walk through them victoriously. Did you know that God never promised to protect us from problems? He promised to see us through them. And when he does bring us through, our co-workers, family members, and close friends will say, there is something about the way that you navigate through the storms of life that I just don't understand, that I'm just not understanding, and I'm not going through those things myself. There's a way that you go through life that I don't go through life that way. What is it about you? Now it's time to tell them about our God. It's not when you got the promotion on the job or the mysterious check in the mail. And you come on the job talking about praise the Lord and amen. Look at the blessings of the Lord. That's not when the Egyptians are going to wonder about your God. But when they see you struggle, when they see you go through the difficulties, when your kid is rebelling, when the bills are piling up with you, when the 800 number is blowing up your phone at home, the credit card people are calling and all this sort of stuff, then they want to see how you navigate through that. Then they're going to say, there's something about the way you're going through life that most people don't go through like that. What is it about you? What's going on in your life? And now it's time to share about our God. Look, it continues. Look at verses 8 through 13. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, that he did not heed them as the Lord had said. It's showtime now. It's showtime. Moses and Aaron goes before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, get out of here. I'm not letting them go. Show me a miracle that what you're saying is true. This is what he said in verse 9. And they throw down the rod and it became a serpent. They were able to do this, yes, because God told them to, but also because Moses had practiced this in private before he did it publicly. See, before God shows his power through us publicly, we must have practiced it privately. Before you can teach anyone publicly at church, you must be teaching somebody at home privately. The things of God that I'm saying around the world, I've been saying these things to our church, even when we were in my living room or meeting in my garage. See, so often people want to shine when the big lights are on before they shine when there's only a night-night light shining. This is why Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Why? Because the small beginnings prepare us for the big stage God wants to put us on. You must first be practicing these things in private before God puts you on the big stage publicly. All this throwing down the rod, you remember when Moses first saw the burning bush and God said, take your shoes off your feet, the ground you're standing is holy. He did all that. And then, you know, he was like, Lord, well, what if the people said, you know, I don't know. You know, who is your God? I don't know if God spoke through you. Now, what should I tell them? And God said, throw down the rod. It became a serpent. Moses fled and he put his hand in his bosom and he put it out. It was leprous, put it back in. It was good. He was doing all this stuff in private. It's showtime now. So this thing, when he was put on the big stage, you know, he wasn't timid. And is this the time to throw the rod down? How did God say throw it down? Was it horizontally or do we drop it down like this? No. Is it time to throw this rod down? Boom! He was ready. And so often, many people just want the big lights. They want the big lights to be on them. And they want to do something where they can be seen by people before they have done these things privately. And this is why Moses was able to do this. The small beginnings, they prepare us for the big stage. Many people, you know, they contact us and from around the world. All the messages, they bless us online. We see you on TV. We see you on internet TV, we see all this, all, and you know, and I just listen and I just kind of smile and I just thank you. And I said, you know, I've been saying this to our church for almost 20 years. I've been saying it privately in obscurity to our church for so long here in Newport News, and most folks don't even know where this is. Don't even know where this city exists. They don't even know that we Virginia Beach, we heard, Norfolk, Richmond, where are you again? And they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. But see, here's the thing. Moses is now on the big stage, and he was ready for God to use him. Then in verse 11, it says that when the rod became a serpent, that Pharaoh called in the wise men and the sorcerers, and they did the same thing. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:8 that their names were Jannes and Jambres. He tells us that these were the guys who threw down their rods and threw their enchantments and all that sort of stuff, that their rod became a serpent as well. But in verse 12, it said that Moses' his serpent ate up theirs. Now, here's the thing. How were they able to do this? By tapping into that which is demonic. You remember I mentioned before, Satan is a master imitator. He will try to imitate the things of God as much as he can. Then verse 13 says that Pharaoh's heart grew hard when he saw that all of this stuff took place. And Moses' rod ate up, his serpent ate up all there. He said that when he saw this, he wasn't like, whoa. No, he was like, heart grew hard. Pharaoh's heart grew hard when he saw Moses' rod eat up his. In other words, his heart grew hard when someone else won. Be careful of envy and jealousy. Pharaoh's heart was envious because it looked like Moses won, and he did. At least round one, he did. When someone else get the promotion on the job ahead of you, watch your heart, because it can become hardened towards the person or towards the job that promoted them ahead of you. And all of a sudden you look to leave. You look to transfer. Oh, I know what I'm talking about, because I know you. Some of you got some kind of papers in now to try to leave, because they promoted them ahead of you. Or they gave them the job. And now you got an attitude. Or if you stick around, you got an attitude toward folks. Person got the promotion ahead of you. Hey, you know, I just need you to do this for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you just kind of drag your little feet. Got an attitude toward the boss that promoted them. Hey, you know what? You know, I just noticed something's been a little different about you lately. What's going on? I think you know. And you got a tune. Beware of this happening to you like it did Pharaoh. Heart grew hard because he saw he lost. He didn't win. And we need to be careful of this kind of stuff. Look at verses 14 to 25. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you will not hear. Thus saith the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over its streams, over its rivers, over its ponds, and over all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. In these verses, we see God say in verse 14, Pharaoh's heart is hard. Let me just pause right here and say, this tells me that God sees when our hearts are hard. Other people may not see it because we know how to disguise it very well with a smile or with a happy face. And we know how to come in here and come on the job and get around people, and we know how to put on the face. But God sees when our hearts is hard. We don't fool God. He sees it. He said Pharaoh's heart is hard. He sees that. So God tells Moses to strike the Nile River and it will be turned into blood. Then in verse 19, God says, stretch out your hand over all the waters of Egypt, the rivers, the ponds, the streams, and they will be turned into blood. Then in verse 22, it says that the magicians did the same thing. Hold up. The same thing, not the opposite, not turn the water back, but made what little fresh water they had, they turned that into blood. Remember I said Satan is only an imitator. He never makes things better, but worse. They made more serpents, more bloody water, and we will see that when the plague of frogs come, they will make more frogs. Satan only makes things worse, not better. Then verse 22 says that Pharaoh's heart grew hard. When we try to do things just like the world to get ahead, it will not work and our hearts will grow hard. When we try to imitate everyone else on how to get ahead in life and the things don't turn out like we think, our hearts will grow hard. Only doing things God's way makes things better at home and at work. When we do like everyone else does, like seek revenge, get them back, or cheat, the results we will look for, we will not get them. And our hearts will grow hard. And when you see that things did not get better but worse, like we see in these verses, your heart is going to get hard. You know, when we try to imitate the world on how to get ahead. See, the world said, you want to get ahead, you got to step on everybody else to get there. And when you hear principles in the scripture implying the way up is down, and you're like, whoa, no. If you want to be great, you got to be the servant of all. And when we hear things like that, we're like, no, we got to do it the world's way. I've been to the world schools, been to the Egyptian university, and I've taken assertiveness class, and I know how to assert myself. And then when things don't get better, but get worse, our heart's going to get a little hard. Beware that the same thing that's happening to Pharaoh doesn't happen to us. Because it surely can. Look at the first 7 verses of chapter 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Hey, I would have let these folks go after all these times. I keep hearing this. All right. Okay. You come to me one more time talking about let these folks go. Okay. You can go. Let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into the house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people. I know some of you ladies would have been freaking out, jumping all on the bed, jump, into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and all the servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, Stretch out your hand with your rod over the rivers, over the streams and over the ponds and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Piece of work. Just a piece of work. Now, in these verses, we see Moses going to Pharaoh again saying, let my people go. And he doesn't do it. This time, frogs are sent everywhere in Egypt. The Egyptians considered the frog to be sacred. They recently discovered in the Nile River region a fertility goddess called Hekt, H-E-Q-T. Keep in mind that each of these plagues was against an Egyptian god that they worshipped. Don't think that these are just random things that God said, I'm just going to do. No, each plague was against, even the plague of darkness was against the sun god Ra. Every plague was against their particular, this was God against Egypt. Not a fair match, but this was God against the Egyptian gods. And each plague was an attack against them. So there was a fertility goddess, a frog-like fertility goddess that had a frog-like face that they discovered, archaeologists discovered in this particular region. And the frog also reminded them of productivity. So this is why they felt that it was sacred as well. It reminded them of productivity because with all the frogs around, it kept the insects from destroying their crops. So that which was considered a blessing is now going to be a curse. That which reminded them of good times is about to become bad times for them. You know, sin is the same way. We say, if only I can have them in my life, it will be a blessing. And you wake up and they are a frog. A curse. We thought that they would be a blessing to us and now they are a problem. That beautiful or handsome person's face is frog-like to you now. And that which you thought was going to be a blessing, you're kicking yourself now. This is how sin is. It's just how sin is. Let's see what else happens in verses 8 through 15. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frog from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyard and out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Now, this guy, it's amazing. We're starting to get somewhere with Pharaoh, at least. He calls for Moses in verse 8 and says, okay. I will let your people go and sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses responds by saying, okay, when do you want me to have the frogs leave Egypt? And Pharaoh says in verse 10, Tomorrow. Not right now. Not immediately. Nor did he say, I want them gone yesterday. He says, tomorrow. Oh, so often we cry out, Lord, I made a mistake. Please take this person out of my life. I made a mistake moving in with them, mixing our finances together, going into business with them. The Lord responds, okay, when do you want me to take them out of your life? And you respond like Pharaoh, tomorrow. I need them to pay the rent. Christmas is around the corner. So tomorrow, maybe, and tomorrow means January, God. Oh, no, my birthday is in January. No, not immediately, but tomorrow. We tell God tomorrow because we aren't quite ready right now or immediately, but tomorrow we think we will be ready. I see this happen so many times with people. Lord, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Lord, get me out of this. Lord, say, okay, when you want me to release you, you can go right now. No, Lord, I wasn't
quite talking about right now. You know, I just said, I need you to get me out of it, but I'm not talking about right now. They helping me pay the bills, you know.
Lord, you don't know that the economy down. There's a bad economy down here. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. And so, Lord, not now, you know, but tomorrow. What are you telling the Lord tomorrow about? Tomorrow I'll do it. Well, and the Lord's like, you can be set free today.
Yeah, you know, I know, Lord. I know that word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But, you know, I'm just not ready right now.
Oh, I wonder what are you procrastinating about? He's told you to do a certain thing and you just kind of telling them tomorrow. This is what Pharaoh did. So Moses cries out to the Lord for Pharaoh, and the frogs died. And when Pharaoh sees that the frogs are gone, verse 15 says that he hardened his heart and did not heed them. When we ask the Lord to do something for us and we promise we would do it, you know, when we make a promise to God and we don't do it and we go back on our word, just understand every time we say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do it. And we go back on our word, a hardness takes place in our hearts. And you know how you know you have a hard heart? Because you end up going back to that person. Or you go back to that situation that you promised the Lord you were going to leave. This is how you know you have a hard heart. You go back to the mud, the muck and the mire that God has brought you out of. You go back to it. Lord, I promise I'm going to leave. And you leave for a minute, then you just kind of go back. As soon as Pharaoh saw that the frogs were gone, he went back on his word. And I just wonder, have you gone back on your word? Have you gone back to that person, to that bottle, to that drug, to those computer sites? It's a sign that you have a hard heart like Pharaoh. Because you promised, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get out of that. And then, yeah, boy. When the relief comes, God brings the relief, then you go back. You go back. Be careful of this kind of heart. This is the kind of heart Pharaoh had. It continues. Look in verses 16 through 19. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on men and beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Moses' heart grew hard and did not heed them, just as the Lord had said.
Oh boy. Now God tells Moses and Aaron to strike the dust of the land in verse 16, and it will become lice or gnats. There's nothing like just some pesky little gnats. Just all of you swiping, you know, and just pesky little gnats. It was on man. It was on beast. Then the magicians tried to imitate this, but they could not. Why? Why is it that they couldn't? Because Satan's power is limited. He is not all powerful like he would like for us to think that he is. His power is limited. He's not all powerful. And please stop saying that Satan is the opposite of God. He's not the opposite of God. No, he's not. If you want someone that's kind of on the same level that he's on, Michael the Archangel is more of a on a level. In the book of Jude, it said that they got into a scrap over the body of Moses. What's that about? I have no clue. But God and Satan, they're not opposite. That's not even a fair fight. It's not fair. His power is limited. But he likes for us to think he's all powerful. No, they couldn't do this. Then they finally had to admit in verse 19 that this was the finger of God, not the hand of God, not the whole body of God. This is just the finger. For God to do these plagues, it was just the finger. The finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments, that same finger. The finger of God that brought these plagues. The finger of God that wrote in the sand. As they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery, said that Jesus took his finger and wrote in the ground, that same finger. The one that's bringing about these plagues, just his finger. There's some things God can just speak and it happens. Some things he just, with his finger. And here it is. The finger of God. But when Pharaoh heard them say this, his heart grew hard. Our hearts can grow hard when it looks like things are getting worse in our life and in our families and not getting better. People are telling you it's the finger of God at work. Submit to what he is doing in your life. And like Pharaoh, you don't heed them in what they are saying. If someone has not said this to you, they will. And when you hear it, you need to heed it. If not, your heart is going to get a little harder. There are some things that God allows in our lives that we're trying to rebuke the devil and all kind of stuff. And it's the finger of God at work. And so often he has to allow these situations and storms to come in our lives because there are folks and there are things that we won't readily give up. So he has to blow them out of our lives. And people, and you trying, and you know, in the midst of a storm, you know, people's feet up in there, they're dangling feet dang, and you holding on to them. And God's trying to blow them out your life. And people say, it's the finger of God. Just submit to it. Let it go. And you ain't know. Then when they get blown out to sea somewhere, your heart get a little hard.
You don't know. Man, I needed them. Man, they were important to me.
If you haven't heard it, when you do hear it, you need to heed it. If not, your heart is going to get hardened. Just like Pharaoh here. Look at verses 20 to 24. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he goes out to the water. Then say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and into your houses, the houses of the Egyptians. Shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that they may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. And I will make a difference between my people and your people tomorrow. This sign shall be. In verse 24 it says, and the Lord did so, thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into the servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. This had to have been terrible. There is nothing like a swarm of flies. Woo, around some garbage and some old meat that's in there just rotting away, all flies just off. Whoa. This had to have been bad. Now, we see the plague of flies come and tormented the Egyptians. We saw in the other plagues that they affected both the Egyptians and the Israelites. But with this one, God made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. In other words, there were some things unbelievers will suffer from that the believers will not. Now, there are some things that God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, but there are some things that God will make a distinction. What are a list of these things? I have no clue. I don't know. I don't know what it is. That's why I'm not God. I don't know. I just know there are times by which God makes a distinction between his people and unbelievers. In what cases and a list of things? Can I give you a list? No. Can't give you a list. I can speculate, but I don't want to do that. But we see, even with the plague of darkness that's going to come, is that it was dark in Egypt, but where the Israelites were in Goshen, there was light. Sun was just as shining. So there's things about which God makes a distinction between his people and unbelievers. Now, I wish it was something by which folks on TV like to say, you know, well, yeah, God doesn't want us, his people, to be this. He wants his people to be this, that, and the other. I wish that was true. God's people still get sick. God's people still come down with cancer. God's people still, we still go through those things. One of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament was Elisha. Elisha asked for a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. And sure enough, if you look at the miracles Elijah did, he did twice as many, Elisha did, twice as many that Elijah did. Great man of God. But it says that Elisha got sick with the sickness by which he was going to die from. Greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracle workers in the Old Testament, died of a sickness. It happens. God allows the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He allows the rain to come and the floods descended. And like I said in Matthew 7, and beat on both of their homes, the saved guy and the unsaved guy. Let me tell you something. Even with this recent storm we just had, there were Christians that suffered some loss and some unbelievers that suffered some loss. But sometime God makes a distinction, and I'm just going to leave it to his prerogative what those are. I don't know what they are. I don't have a list. I wish I did. I wish God put it in there and said, here's a list of the things that believers will never suffer from. Just not there. I just haven't come across those things. But God made a distinction. So, did the plague of flies work? Will Pharaoh finally let these folks go? Look at verses 25 to 32. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and says, go sacrifice to your God in the land. Okay, we getting somewhere. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we will be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? Let me just stop right here and just say, you have to understand, shepherds were considered an abomination to the Egyptians. So if they were sacrificing and making sacrifices, the Egyptians would see them and say, man, look at you. Hey, what in the world? Killing them poor little animals and stuff, man, sacrificing them, barbecuing them. And, you know, and they would pick up stones and start, you know, and they would despise their offering and despise their worship of their God. So this is why Moses said, no, we're not going to do it in the land. In verse 27, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh says, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh and from his servant and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore and not letting the people go sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. Surely they about to go now. Verse 32. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Wow. Peace, peace, peace of work. Peace of work. Now, in these verses, we see Pharaoh suggests something that Satan suggests to us as well, which is compromise. He tells Moses that they can go and sacrifice, but do it in the land, according to verse 25. Then in verse 28, he tells them to go and sacrifice, but you shall not go very far away. Satan tells us, go to church, read your little Bible, but don't leave Egypt. Don't leave the world. Don't let the people you work with or live by see a real difference between you and them. Don't neglect your Egyptian worldly heritage. Yes, go to your church on Sundays, but party and drink with your Egyptians Saturday night. Worship your God, but stay in the land. Pharaoh said, you can go and worship your God, but do it right here in the land. Moses said, no. In verse 26, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Then Pharaoh said in verse 28, Okay. Go worship your God outside the borders of Egypt. But don't go very far away. Pharaoh is saying, go and worship, but don't go far away. Don't become fanatical now. Don't go far. You know, it doesn't take all of that. One time is enough for church. Me trying to get in some small group or going to some singles thing or some kind of Whoa. One time is enough. I remember someone told us some years ago, I never forgot it, said, too much church. Had too much church going on. Don't take all of that. Don't go too far in your relationship with God. Beware of the Pharaoh lie. Worship God, but don't go too far. Let me tell you this, only people who gave their all to the Lord was used to change their world for Jesus Christ. No one who ever takes on this mentality ever do anything worthwhile for the kingdom. No one. Sure, you can kick back, put it in cruise. If you have repented of your sin, accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can put it in cruise. And just cruise your way on up to heaven. But no one will ever remember your name. Won't ever remember anything you've done. And you won't make a single impact for the kingdom. Let me tell you something. Paul, the apostle Paul, was zealous for the law of God before he was converted. He went for it. He was so zealous for the law. He went and imprisoned and used to put Christians in jail. And Jesus said that there's going to be a time in John 16:2. He said there's going to be a time that people will kill you thinking they're doing God's service. It was a prophetic word of the apostle Paul coming along. Killed Stephen, the first martyr. It says that when they were taking off their coats, they wanted to be able to get, cock back and really throw some rocks at Stephen. They took off their coats and they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later became the apostle Paul. Zealous for the law of God. Therefore, when he became converted, he was just as zealous for Christ as he was before. Some of y'all were a trip before you accepted Christ. Crazy, party hardy, They should give you a key to open up the club and close it down. Make sure you turn off the light. Check the back door before you leave. Then you come to church, you come to Christ, and you get all timid and babyish and kind of just all soft. The same zeal that you serve sin, you need to serve your Savior. Don't take this mentality of, well, you know, you can go to church, do your thing, but don't go very far in your walk with the Lord. Don't become too fanatical. Oh, no, you wouldn't want to become a fan of Christ. No, wouldn't want that. Oh, no. Then we read in verse 32 that after all this, Pharaoh hardened his heart again. When we see that God will not be manipulated by us, we can get upset and harden our hearts towards him. God sees through our manipulation. Lord, if you get me out of this, I will serve you. Isn't that what the kind of mess? Pharaoh even said, and pray for me now. You know, you have folks you work with say, you going to church? Pray for me. Send up a prayer up to the big guy for me. Now, how about you come and send your own prayer up? I'm not the prayer delivery boy, you know. Come and offer up your own prayer. The Lord gets us out of things. We go back to our mess and we harden our hearts. And when the next plague comes our way, we harden it again. Next plague come. Okay. And we go back. Okay. I'm gonna let him go. And did you know God is not going to be manipulated by us? He's not. He sees through our little thing. Okay, Lord, get me out of this. And okay, I promise this time. He gets us out, and all of a sudden, then we go back. Okay, Lord, then a plague comes. Okay. And then we get out, and we go back. Then another plague comes. Okay, God is not going to be manipulated. He's going to keep sending those plagues. Keep sending them. And he does it for a reason. See, the battle is going to continue. It's not over. This battle is going to continue. And God's will, we'll see next week. Now, let me wrap it up with this. Today, we looked at the consequences of us having hardened hearts. It will bring plague after plague after plague. The plagues that God allows us and allows to come our way is to humble us and for us to see the error of our ways. Submit to the Lord before the next plague comes. Also, remember that Satan comes to us and tries to get us to compromise in our walks with the Lord. He tells us to go and worship your God at church, but do it in the land. Then he says, go and worship, but don't go very far. I'm here to tell you not to listen to his suggestions. Worship God and leave Egypt, the world, and go far in your walk with the Lord. Go all the way. Just go wide open. Just go wide open. All the way. Because he has great plans for you if you're willing to leave the land and go all the way with him. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to go back to where it's most comfortable for you? He's waiting for you because he wants to use your life to bring glory to him. And finally, if you have hardened your heart in some way towards God or someone else, come and let God soften it because he loves you. And he has great plans for your life, but he can't use you if your heart is hardened. I remember when the Lord was lovingly loving me through me having a hardened heart. He was very patient with me. And the Lord said, you know what? It's not over for you. This is just a chapter in your life. But I can't use you if you don't do something with that hardened heart. That which I want to do will not come to pass. You will not see it until your heart is softened towards me again and towards others. And the Lord lovingly, He loved me through it. Allowed me time to work through these emotions and feelings and work through that stuff. Because I know the plans God wants for my life. Do you know what He has for yours? But He can't use you. He can't use me if our hearts are hardened towards Him or towards someone. He can't use us. And He'll be patient with us. So if you deal with that heart after a week, 2 weeks, He'll be patient. 2 months. Don't let it keep going. The longer you wait, the worse it's going to get. The plagues will come and they will be devastating plagues. Notice that these plagues they're not getting better. They're getting worse until it's going to, hit a peak with the killing of the firstborn. They're not going to get better. And the Lord is not sending these plagues because He's upset at us. No, not at all. He wants to humble us and He wants us to see the error of our ways. And we have to allow Him to do that work, but He wants to soften our hearts. And He wants to use you to bring glory and honor to Him. And I would like some folks that's from in leadership to be available. And as we close, if that's you, if your heart has just been hardened towards God or someone, let them pray with you about that. And let them just really begin to just pray with you and deal with that. Let this be the beginning of you on the road to a softened heart. Soften heart, because God can't use us if our hearts are hard. He can't. There are consequences. We don't want those consequences. Trust me, you don't want those consequences. I've been there, done that. But God can soften your heart once again, because He wants to use you. He loves you and wants to use your life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you so much for your grace that abounds toward us. And Lord, we are so thankful that you share these things with us because you love us and you want to use us to bring glory and honor to you. So Lord, we just pray for your people here. Soften hearts. Let our hearts be tender towards your voice once again, towards your word, towards worship. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be tender, Lord. Let it be tender once again towards you. There are some who are here, Lord, that they couldn't worship you like they normally do because their hearts are hardened. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, I just pray that you would soften hearts this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.